Well, as I said, we've been dealing with some things as the Lord brought them to mind and to heart. And it's important to do that. I'll pick up where I left off last week, but got a couple new ears here. I'll probably go over some stuff. Who knows if I'll even get to where I finished last week. That's the way it works sometimes. Diane and two of my daughters recently went to a summit in Ocala, Florida COVID summit, I guess they call it. Dr. Malone was there. Who was it? McCullough. A whole bunch of them. Folks who still got two brain cells to rub together. The folks that they won't let you hear from. Brilliant folks. Dr. Malone is the originator of the mRNA technology. And he's, after they jabbed him and he got sick, and he came to start looking at some things and seeing the way things were going and speaking out. Well, of course, now his name's Mutt. And the one thing he said, and I'll talk about it last week, and I'll talk about it today some, and tomorrow night I got a little clip, that little clip I mentioned of him when he talks about the children. And I watched it online. I had a match, shooting match that day, which got rained out. I should have just got a ticket and went, right? So, but anyway, I was able to watch it online. And what impressed me, and one of the things they just drove home, was what we're doing to our children. Last few weeks, they've approved the jab for 5 to 11-year-olds. And I saw this week, maybe it wasn't new, but this week or the week before, now they're working on giving it to infants. What is wrong with us? Brings to mind something, and my wife said it came to her mind as she was at the conference, and then that Sunday I preached on it without having talked to me. We saw in Grace Baptist call those things coincidences. We don't believe in coincidences. God's sovereign, you know, and he sometimes just stands, you know, his back and is like, I knew that was you, God, you know. There you go. Leviticus Israel was warned because they were apt to fall into the paganism and idolatry that surrounded them. I know none of us are, but Israel would sometimes do that. And in Leviticus 18:21, God says, thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire of Moloch, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. Sometimes my eyes don't work right, and I'll be reading the Bible, and my wife said, what translation were you using? The only translation we ever use is the King James Bible. Sometimes my reading gets off, you know. I'm sorry. My point about that is, I look at this and I see, I am the Lord in all capitals. That means Jehovah. That's the word Jehovah in the Hebrew. Modern versions don't follow that junk. And that's just something that came to my mind as I was reading it. I am Jehovah. America is passing its seed through the fire of Moloch. And not only just with this, it started back a while ago. And all this abortion holocaust. And then they're putting these things on our children. As I said last week, I saw it. You know, Pfizer's just come out with a new advertisement that telling kids they're superheroes if they let their parents jab them. Well, they don't get to let their parents jab them. Say, you're a superhero. Go tell your friends at school. They can be a superhero. Lab rats. Maybe more appropriately, Fauci's beagles. several children have already been disabled and died, and dare I say murdered, just since this has come on the market. And again, we looked at several folks. I won't go through them, but renowned doctors, but you're not supposed to listen to them. Ben Carson, Martin Kulldorff, Harvey Rice, Sinatra Gupta, and then Dr. Robert Malone, and I'll quote him again, and I'll show you a video clip of it later, but he said, "There is absolutely no scientific or medical justification for vaccinating children, in my opinion." And yet, here, we allow our children to pass through the fire of Mulligan. And as Dr. Malone brought out in one of his quotes is, you know, here you got these septuagenarian and octogenarian folks up there at the CDC. Dr. Malone said that this is a boomer disease. And I looked it up. I said, Dr. Malone's about 10 years younger than me. But I guess he's still on the end of the boomers. He said, this is a boomer disease, and here we are, supposedly to protect grandma and grandpa, to protect me, we're subjecting our children to these things so that I don't get it. Well, they've already proven that that's not even true. We're sacrificing our children for our benefit. We're sacrificing these kids that have a whole life in front of them for us who have 10 years. I'd be surprised if I had 20 years. I'm 71 years old, for crying out loud. But if I did, they got their whole... But we're saying they need to get this to protect me. We're sacrificing our children to Moloch. We're no different than those pagan Canaanites. They sacrificed their children so things would go well with them. They sacrificed their children to this pagan god so that he would pour blessings on them and give them health. Of course, no surprise to a nation that subjects its children in the womb to murder. A psalmist said in Psalm 106, verse 37, "Yea, they sacrificed their sons and daughters unto devils." Brother, this is spiritual warfare. False gods are demons. It's satanic. Say, well, they're not real. Yeah, well, there's something behind that. Paul talks about it some places. He says, you know nothing at all. But then he speaks about, you know, that they're demons. They sacrifice their sons and daughters unto devils and shed innocent blood. Even the blood of their sons and their daughters. Their sons. It's bad enough. This country's, you know, more than happy to shed the blood of other people's sons and daughters. But why should that surprise us? This country is perfectly willing to shed the blood of their own sons and their own daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Seems incomprehensible. And the Lord, during his earthly ministry, you know, spoke to these sort of things and using the illustration of little children. And I won't read the whole passage we did last week, but in Matthew 18, verse 6, he says, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believeth in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea." It would have been better if they drowned before they did that. Because since they did that, what's coming is going to be worse. And Luke, he said much the same thing. Luke 17, verse 2. "It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones you're not supposed to get personal and mention names, but like, you know, Fauci and Walensky and Woodcock and all these blue state governors that are promoting these things and pushing these things. Almost immediately, this is no surprise, is it? San Francisco made vaccinations mandatory for 5-year-olds and above. I mean, within days of it being approved. These people are deluded. And sometimes you wonder, how can this be? And I think we maybe closed on this verse last week. Maybe I'll go a little bit further next week. Last week. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 7. Paul's writing to the saints in Thessalonica. 1st century, right? These things were already at work. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth or prevents or holds it back will prevent until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked, capital W, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him, whose coming is after the work of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. You know, I used to know everything about eschatology, the study of end times. I don't know so much anymore. I realize I know less and less every day. But I know this book is true, and what's in here is going to come about. I believe there's going to arise one. And he's going to have people take a mark, and if they don't take it, they won't be able to eat. Or buy or sell. That doesn't sound like anything you've ever heard of, does it? And Paul's warning the saints in Thessalonica, but he said the mystery of iniquity doth already work. It's there. John the Apostle writes about this. He says, you know, Antichrist will come, and Antichrist is here. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. In them that perish. The reprobate. And then he went on to say, because you look at this and you say, well, I know what, if I could just talk to people, if I could just get them to read this, then they'll understand. And no, they won't. Doesn't mean I'm not supposed to keep proclaiming and speaking the truth, but I can't open their ears. I can't open their eyes. I can't open their hearts. Even him, verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Then he says this, because they received not the love of the truth. Listen, I'm nothing. But what the Lord's allowed me to see and embrace and to know, it came from him. We received the love of the truth. You don't have anything to pat yourself on the back for. Man, I embrace that truth. I walked down that aisle. I asked Jesus into my heart. I made a decision. You didn't do none of that. None of it. Salvation is of the Lord. Because they received not. You say, well, but that's not fair. You know what fair is? We would all be accursed. None of us would ever have embraced the truth unless it had been given to us to love it. None of us would. And that God determines to shed his grace on his elect. You know, those other folks have gone doing what they want. Well, look, the rest of the verse talks about that. Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. But you've got to receive the love of the truth. It's not something you work up, develop. And for this cause, we wonder why folks can't listen, why they won't learn. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. People in America aren't believing lies, are they? Yeah. About from the time of the Constitution. Don't get me started. I'll get to those folks. And somebody, what was it? Oh. Might as well make everybody mad. So somebody posted a thing last week or so about George Washington and about how he was what a fine Mason he was and stuff. And so what do you think about that? Those of you who are members and those of you who aren't. And I just said, you know, Masonry is a pagan abomination. Now, I don't care who was involved in it. I respect George Washington about a lot of things, but you know, man's the depraved creature. He's a fallen creature. No more was Washington inaugurated than he raises an army and invades Pennsylvania. There's another president that did something like that. Oh, yeah. Abe Lincoln. You know, George Washington, who I respect, but he set a precedent for Abe Lincoln. Here's a man that just fought a war with the mightiest power on earth, at least in part over taxation. And he gets an office and he tells the folks in Pennsylvania, if you don't pay the taxes, I'm going to raise an army and we're going to invade you. And he did. That's incomprehensible to me sometimes. Thank God that I wasn't put in that position. Who knows if I'd been had all power and a big head of being president and everything. I don't know. Before the Constitution came along, our founders had a little better sense in the Articles of Confederation, and there wasn't a president. There was a presiding officer that you could call president when they would meet once a year in convention. But there wasn't this guy that sat there in Washington and dictated to us. He said, well, the Constitution prevents the president from doing that. Have you been paying attention to what's going on right now? The Constitution didn't prevent nothing. That's exactly what's going on. Okay, I got off a little bit. But for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. So let me ask you, you think you're going to bring them out of that delusion? You think you can convince them? You know, your silver tongue? And you think you can convince them? Yeah, it doesn't work that way. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth. They believed not the truth because they did not receive the love of the truth. And then it goes on to explain again. Man, you say, well, God made them do it. No, they wanted to do that. But had, listen, they, that they might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to reject the truth. They wanted to believe a lie. They had pleasure in unrighteousness. Kind of reminds us a little bit of what Paul says in Romans 1 about the other blight we see going on today. Perversion of sodomy and transsexualism. I was 71 years old. Probably when I was your age, if somebody had talked to me about transsexualism, I would have looked like at them like they came from the moon. I wouldn't have known what in the world they were talking about. That's what we've come to. And Paul talks about those who not only do those things, but have pleasure in them that do them. Well, turn on the television for about 5 minutes. And that's exactly what you'll see. They have pleasure. They promote those things. They laud those things. The Lord warns. And we see the rise again in Mark 13. He says, for false Christs and false prophets shall rise. They shall show signs and wonders. You know what a wonderful thing it was. They came up with this vaccine just like that. And now it eludes me. What did Trump call it? It was a military term.
Warp speed.
Yeah. Warp speed. Warp speed. Yeah. The great Messiah Trump. Oh, no. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. Now, the Lord said that the way He said it, because He meant to say it that way. It's obvious. It's not possible to deceive those who are the elect. But it's going to appear so almost. It's going to be, and those who may claim to be and aren't, that if it were possible, it would deceive even the elect. I'm just astounded. We were talking in fellowship, and folks that should be our natural allies. You know, the president of Hornady Company comes out and tells all his people to get a jab. And then he comes back out with a clarification and said, but I just said, I didn't really say that. But if I find out who told you all when I said it, they're finished. Okay. What I'm saying is these people should be our natural allies. I go to the gun range and I'm about the only guy there who's not been jabbed. You know, I think these people are supposedly conservatives and they ought to know better. And believe me, if I get a little opportunity, I'll start talking about it. And it's like they can't hear. You know, they look at me like... So one of my friends there just last week, somebody asked him about his wife, if she'd recovered from her third jab. And I thought, what the hell is... And you know what? They'll be first in line for the fourth one. And on this line, we're talking about children. I saw a doctor this week that posted on social media about his son that was in critical care because of the jab, and then he implored parents to go get their kids jabbed because this is very rare. Pass your children through the fires of Moloch. It's incomprehensible to me. Well, then I can go read 2 Thessalonians and it's not so incomprehensible anymore. Or I can see the Lord's testimony during His earthly ministry. He said, if it were possible, they'll show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. So, should this surprise us? In Matthew, the Lord said much the same in verse 24, Matthew, or chapter 24 and verse 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I've told you before. I told you. We get upset when they don't like us, when they don't receive what we have to say. The Lord said, behold, I told you before. What's the matter? Weren't you listening? Well, I'll spend a little bit more time probably next time we get to. We're doing this to our children. Children are a gift from God. In Psalm 127, and I won't go too far here, but lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. Not something to be sloughed off like a piece of tissue. They're a heritage of the Lord. That word heritage speaks of an inheritance, which is not mine. It's a sacred trust, but it's not mine. I've shared before, I don't have much, but I got a few things. I got my great-great-granddaddy's gun, that he, his Winchester 1873 that he had when he was the Justice of the Peace down there in Homestead. But you know what? It's given to me as inheritance, but it's not mine. You understand I'm going to die? Yeah. And then? What? Well, I'm to pass that on. I'm to protect that. I'm to guard that. That's what an inheritance is. It's something that you're given for safekeeping, that you're in charge of. Children are a heritage of the Lord that you're going to account for. And what's this country doing to its children? Murdering them in the womb. Giving them untested jabs to all protect us from Moloch. Not Moloch mad at you. Let me tell you what. Having Moloch mad at you will be a whole lot better than having Jehovah mad at you. A whole lot better. Okay. Well, Lord willing, we'll continue on that same vein next week. May the Lord impress upon us our accountability, our responsibility, our duties, and by the grace of God, may we continue to soldier on. You don't have to think that you're going to have success. I used to have a lot of friends. I still got some friends. I'm still in the Southern movement, but some of them don't think it's much of anything they used to. But anyway, I used to have some friends in the Southern movement, and a lot of them, they had to have the idea, you know, we're gonna prevail. Yeah, maybe not. It doesn't matter. And also often refer to Stonewall, who may not have been the first to say it. You can look at any quotes, but anyway, he often repeated, duty is ours. Consequences are God's. Duty's ours. I don't have to worry about saying, well, we're going to prevail. Yeah, well, maybe not. But it doesn't matter. Did you do your duty? Did you stand? And by the grace of God, I pray that He'll allow His people to do that. We'll take our hymnals this morning and stand and sing a closing hymn. Oh, 230, more like the Master. You know, if you preach the way I preach today, and you speak like this to a lot of people, the first thing you're going to tell you is, you're not very Christ-like. Well, I don't think they've ever read about the Christ in the Bible. And we'll talk more about that when we get back to Galatians and some of the things going on there. You know, overturning tables and forming a whip and calling people snakes and telling folks that they're of their father, the devil. Yeah, I want to be like my Master. I don't want to be hateful. I don't want to be mean. As Paul tells us, as much as lies within us to live at peace with all men. But sometimes, some people won't be lived peaceably with. Okay, let's take our handles and stand and sing number 230, More Like the Master.
Purge me from sin.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've set aside as yours. Lord, as we meet on the first day of the week, in remembrance of our Lord's glorious resurrection, his completed atonement for his people, his victory over death, not only for him, but for those that are his. Father, we can't comprehend such love. There's no way we could ever have been deserving of it. And yet, Lord, you deigned to make us the recipients of it. Father, I pray for grace to live in accordance with your word. Father, to stand and proclaim and to speak the truth regardless of what the world may say or do. Lord, realizing we can't open eyes and ears and hearts. And you alone can do that. Lord, you may give us the privilege of bringing your light to where you have already brought life. Lord, what a solemn responsibility that is. Lord, help us to keep in mind not only ourselves, but our children, that heritage that you've given us. Lord, may we do right by them and by thee. Lord, thank you for each one that came out to be with us today. Pray your hand upon them. Pray you might guide and direct in their lives. Use them to your glory. Thank you again for our Savior is all sufficient and completed atonement. And we pray in his name. Amen.
Amen.